Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
If that lion forms on the right bay, not that Maggie.
Thursday morning, 202, McMonagle here with you. You know the rules. I got you for 3 hours. No more, no less. As we take it to 5 o'clock and the warm-up show, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Your calls till then. Rami on the other side. As Fliegelman has flown to London. Not to see the Mets, of course, but we'll get to that. And plenty of time to talk about those Mets. As they head to London over a 3-game winning streak. You heard me. The Mets have won 3 in a row. And they have swept away the Nationals. The offense has woken up. Torres is hitting home runs. Severino pitching well. And they just beat a lousy Nationals team 3 times in a row. We'll get to the Yankees right now. What, you think I'm not going to start with the Yankees? Yeah, you know who I am and this is what I do. That's right. Rami was just playing me the sound of Gio making fun of me in the morning for doing Yankees. That's what I am. They say you want to do this job, be true to yourself. Well, here I am, being true to me. As we'll start with the Yankees, we'll get to the Mets here in the open too. But we'll start with the baseball. As the garden party's long since over, we're trying to get ready for our football season. I actually am really high on the Jets, not so much on the Giants. But we're here in the middle of this baseball thing. And right now the Yankees are the best show going. As, I mean, just, you saw the video, I know Keith was there. You saw the videos outside the building, the lines to get the Soto jersey, the vibes in the building, the roll call. You could practically hear it from, I heard it from the other room of my house as I was still helping my kids clean up the dinner table. We had a late dinner last night, and I'm hearing from the TV. It's just something special right now with this Yankee team. Is yes, they pound the Minnesota Twins, that's what they do. It's what I do, that's what they do. They pound the Minnesota Twins. Yes, we know it. They're 5-0 this year, and I think it's like 185-2 over the last 187 games. It's something along those lines. As they just absolutely dominate the Twins. But a lot of different things from this game. And, you know, yesterday was spent a lot talking about Luis Gil. And rightfully so. What Luis Gil is doing right now is remarkable. The guy never gives up a hit. He has the best ERA in the American League. He's just been a dominating force. But really, you could talk about this entire rotation, and I will right now with Carlos Rodon. Because what Carlos Rodon is doing, I mean, last year could not have gone worse. And as we talk about Juan Soto, and we talked about this yesterday, and how he's just come in and immediately, forget the other players who've ever come here and struggled right away. And the list goes on and on, from Hall of Fame players like Alex Rodriguez to lesser players like, let's just use Carlos Rodon, where they come in here and it's a struggle. And last year with the injury to start, and then we know how terrible it was when he came back and he pitched and he had the blowing of the kiss to the fan in Anaheim, and just everything, ending the season, not being able to get out of the first inning against Kansas City, just a horrendous first year. A horrendous first year for someone who makes a ton of money. And heading into this season, we talked about over and over again, that he is going to be one of the key factors in how the Yankees go. And if you look at the season, you say, well, Carlos Rodon is doing this, and I would predict the Yankees will therefore do that. Oh, well, Carlos Rodon was doing this. I therefore predict the Yankees will do that. And while the Yankees are the best team in baseball, picked up another game on the Baltimore Orioles, lead this division, it is absolutely partially because of Carlos Rodon, who has been unbelievable. And last night, he's pitching a perfect game through five. He shuts down the first 16 batters he faces. He's got the slider going. He's got the fastball going. He's got the confidence going. He came into this year in much better shape. And I have, you know, a lot of doubts heading into the year, not about him physically, because I honestly thought, you know, the last year, the back issue, the chronic back issue that could not be fixed for a long time, and it started with the forearm and then the back. And so there were some concerns about his health this year. But my main concern was, especially the way he handled it, especially if you remember, and he mentioned it in the postgame, he couldn't get out of the first inning in Kansas City, and he went on, he practically joined Aaron Rodgers in the dark room retreat. Apparently he had to just like go get away from baseball and think about his life. Like, it was a mentally taxing season for Carlos Rodon last year. It was a mentally taxing season for a lot of the Yankees. It certainly was for Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman, as we saw how they reacted to it in the offseason. Brian Cashman went on a cursing tirade, screaming out, you know, cursing out Joel Sherman. And he needed to go get away because of how difficult the season was for him, whether it was the weight of the contract, whether it was joining this Yankee team and being, you know, the face of, in many ways, the face of the failures of last year. In many ways, he was. With that, he was the big offseason besides Aaron Judge. The difference of the team was Carlos Rodon. And they went 82-80. He was awful, couldn't stay healthy. And not only did we have injury concerns coming into this year, but just the idea, is he going to be mentally tough enough to rebound from that? Is this going to be a sunk cost, this entire contract? Because that's how a lot of Yankee fans, and I talk to them, and I'll continue to talk to you all morning, 888-808-1019. A lot of Yankee fans felt like that. Like, this was a lost cause. He stinks. He'll never figure it out. New York's too big for him. The blowing of the kiss proves it, and everything else and all the other nonsense. And, you know, we head into the season with two of those pitchers who both are doing great, with Marcus Stroman. And he's so sensitive on social media, and he's had a problem with Brian Cashman, and he won't be able to take it if he struggles and the fan base gets on him, and blah, 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 blah. But Carlos Rodon right now is pitching much like Luis Gil, not quite as dominant. And as we wait for the return of the ace, of the Cy Young Award winner, of Gerrit Cole, the $326 million man and best pitcher in baseball, as the Yankees await for him to return, and hopefully he's just a couple more rehab starts away. Yes, Luis Gil deserves the praise. He has stepped in and fulfilled that role. He has stepped in and been the ace of this staff, the dominant pitcher. But we have seen performances up and down this team, and it starts with Carlos Rodon, who was a polarizing figure and who could be a tentpole on how the season went. And as he goes, so have the Yankees. And as you look ahead and we start to prognosticate about what this team can do in the postseason, because I've talked about that too, this is great where they are. This is great. And we know how good they are and how different it feels. You could feel it in the ballpark. You could feel it with the fan base. Even the Cashman haters, even the Yankee haters, even the Steinbrenner haters acknowledge this team right now is a force. Acknowledge this team has very few holes. Acknowledge it's put together well. But it's going to come down to how they do in the postseason, as it always does. And while starting pitching can be slightly, I don't want to use the term overrated, but overcome during the regular season, as you can get by on a bullpen, you can get by with an offense that mashes, you can survive with an average starting rotation. We saw the Orioles do it last year. But come postseason time, you are going to have great starting pitching. And if you look at this rotation right now, and you look at Cole coming back, you look at Luis Gil, now he's been great, but they're going to have to figure out a way to manage him to the end. But you look at Carlos Rodon, and then we'll talk about, obviously, Stroman. That's the four starters of this rotation heading into the postseason. And it feels like right now, Rodon, other than one start against Baltimore, and I understand that arguably was the biggest start of the year. It's their biggest rival. It's the team they are competing for. And I believe at the time were behind in the division in that series in Baltimore, and it was a big start for him, and he failed. But besides that, this guy has figured it out. He's locating his pitches, and his mentality. Watch this game, right? Because if you watch the game, he's dominating. And we always talk about it, and they talk about it in the broadcast. Every pitcher gets 30 starts. 10 will be terrible, and he has nothing. 10 will be fantastic, where everything's working. And then it's those 10 in the middle. That's where your season is made, right? We've heard that cliche a million times. Well, this looked like one of the 10 where he just had everything working. And that typically happens against the Minnesota Twins, but it's just one of those things where he had everything working. And then he gives up the home run to Santana. And even before that, the great plays defensively, which we got to get to, but the great plays defensively, you could see the weight that he carried last year is no longer there. The heaviness about him, the impending doom around every corner is no longer there. And the joy he's pitching with while the great plays are made, and then the attitude as he gives up the home run. And it doesn't rattle him. And then he gives up another couple of hits in a row, and he still manages to get through that. Like, he has been that guy who has been able to overcome the beginning of his Yankee tenure, which was as bad as Carl Pavano, as bad as any other, you have to go back to Ed Whitson or whatever his name was. Sonny Gray's terrible to start his Yankee career that never really amounted to anything, but there have been so many hitters, pitchers, so many high-priced free agents via trade, free agency, whatever the case may be. Big-time money, big-time players who have come here and immediately underachieved, and it can be a very difficult thing to battle back from. But Carlos Rodon, he deserves his praise because he is one of the pitchers in this rotation that has made the rotation without Gerrit Cole, that people called me up and told me this team is under 500 without Gerrit Cole. This team will fall on its face without Gerrit Cole. The season is over without Gerrit Cole. And they have been able to step up, be the best rotation in all of baseball, the most complete rotation in all of baseball, with five guys who go deep into games better than any rotation in baseball. And right there, yes, Luis Gil deserves to be talked about as something special. Something we're seeing for the first time. Something you can argue is as great as we've ever seen. Something you could say is better than what we've even seen from Gerrit Cole. Something we hope is going to become must-see TV, as Boomer was saying in the morning, as Evan was saying in the afternoon, must-see TV, where I'm going to go Sunday night. I'm going to try and be there against the Dodgers as the Dodgers come in for this weekend, and it's Luis Gil versus Glasnow on Sunday Night Baseball. That's something you can't miss. You don't have to be a Yankee fan to get excited for that. You just have to be a baseball fan because Luis Gil is something special right now. And maybe Rodon isn't special. And maybe Stroman isn't special. And maybe Nestor Cortez isn't special right now. And they don't have the juice or the buzz that Luis Gil has. But they are the driving force of this team. Because the offense has come and gone a little bit. Now it's on fire, no doubt. Judge, another five RBIs in this game. Obviously, Gleyber Torres is starting to awake. The top of the lineup, obviously, and we'll get to Volpe and the top of the order and some of the things I've previously said. We'll get to it. But as we talk about all that, and as we watch a Yankee offense score 9 runs without a home run, 9 runs without a home run, the Bronx Bombers and the three, Soto, Judge, and Stanton each have 15 home runs before game 62, and it's the first time since, 1737. The Pilgrims didn't even do it. Which is amazing. Every day there is another obscure stat. Now it's about how many triples they've had in the last 7 games. It's crazy. This Yankee team is just freaking crazy. Every day there's another off the beaten path stat that is just like, what? But as we have fun with all of that, and as the crowd's going nuts for Juan Soto, and the conversation around whether he'll stay or not is so, hovering over the entire great season, and Judge, and whether he's the best since Mickey Mantle, or, you know, all the other talking points, and what should they do? Gleyber Torres isn't a winning player. Rizzo's a problem. Whether Clay Holmes is suitable enough to be a closer because he doesn't miss enough bats. Like all the minor things we've talked about, as well as all the great things that we've talked about. And as much as Luis Gil has stolen the imagination of the city, Carlos Rodon and some of the other starting pitchers in this rotation, but specifically him after that game last night, is just going about his business. And he's completely turned around what was an impossibly bad season for him last year. And as you look at him, as long as he stays healthy, he is on par to be in this starting rotation. And if the playoffs started tomorrow, I would be supremely confident. And I wasn't sure I'd get there, and it's only June. But I would be supremely confident with Carlos Rodon making a playoff start. I would feel good, especially, let's be fair, as you look around the rest of the American League, right? And the big bad Houston Astros that have dominated the American League and been to, what, 7 straight ALCSs as they're floundering, as the defending world champions are under 500. As you're looking at, you know, the Cleveland Guardians as the other top team alongside the Yankees and the Orioles in the American League, I would feel supremely confident with this group right now, and specifically Carlos Rodon. And long gone are the days of blowing kisses. Long gone are the days of watching him implode. Long days are gone of the poor body language and attitude where you felt like this guy can't get out of his own way, because right now he is forging a path back into the good graces of the Yankee fan, back into the good graces of this organization, and no longer feels like the abject bust, failure, waste of money that will be an albatross around their neck moving forward. Those days are gone. And it's refreshing, and it's important. As well as some of the other stuff we saw in this game. The defense from this team. I mean, last night and the way they're playing is such a complete brand of baseball. And as well as, obviously Soto, Luis Gil, and Judge have been talked about it, and even Volpe as the driving force of this team. There's so many different pieces that have worked out in a way that has led them to this place of being this dominant baseball team right now. I spent, 15 minutes on Carlos Rodon, but there's Verdugo, whose offense, yes, changed once Judge got going, clearly, but also when he moved to the cleanup role. It sparked something, and his defense right now, out in left field, is the best in baseball, and the play he makes last night to preserve, at the time, a perfect game for Carlos Rodon, up against the wall, running full speed into it. I mean, this team has no fear. This team plays for each other. This team goes all out on an every night basis. And Verdugo has brought a lot of that, plus the obvious of the, some left-handed hitters inside this historically over the last 5 years, heavy right-handed lineup. He's brought a lot to this team. The defense of this team all around, you saw Volpe make plays. Rizzo, who's had his issues at first base, very slick with his footwork around the bag in this game. They've done everything right. They are playing a crisp. They aren't just smashing. Like that's, I emphasize the 9 runs without hitting a home run. Yes, that's, you want to smash home runs, right? And the home run Soto hit the other day against San Francisco, and Judge has 21 home runs, and that's pretty much the main way Giancarlo contributes to the team. And it's important to hit home runs, and I've said that forever. You need to hit home runs, especially in the postseason. People talk about, the home runs disappear in the postseason. Yeah, for losing teams. Seager had no problem hitting home runs on their way to a World Series champion. You got to hit home runs because when you're facing good pitching, good luck stringing 10 hits together. You have to hit home runs. But they don't rely on the home run as much with this offense right now. And they scored 9 runs without the benefit of a home run in this game. They are playing crisp, clean baseball. They're not just pounding you. They're doing it everywhere. If they need a well-pitched game, they're clearly getting it. If the bullpen needs to hold on to a lead, they will do that for you. If the home runs aren't there, they'll double down the line. They have done everything right. And it's not just against the Minnesota Twins. It's against every team in baseball. They've lost two series on the year. Two. And right now, as we get ready for this enormous series that will be against the Dodgers, where apparently, I've heard from Keith and I've seen a couple things online, apparently Dodger fans are going to try and come here and have some fun with it. I say, I welcome that. Come here. I don't care. Let's have some fun with this because you know what? It probably is, and certainly is one of, and probably is one of the two best teams in baseball. The super team that was the Dodgers. We'll get our first eyes on Yamamoto, who they missed out on the offseason. And this Dodger team that spent all the money and has the top of the lineup that is only rivaled by the New York Yankees. And this force that has been the best run organization despite only winning one championship and you know and failing in the postseason the last handful of years. These are, you know, who the Yankees have been aspiring to be. A team that not only spends money, not only puts out the product, not only wins 100 games in the division every year, but also has the farm system and also is this well-run organization. Like, this is Dodgers, Yankees, the history of the, obviously, as I'm watching Yankeeography with Billy Martin, the late 70s. The history that is the Dodgers and you know, obviously going back to the 50s and the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Yankees. It's going to be a fun series. It doesn't come here that often. Plus the star power of Betts, Freeman, Otani, Yamamoto, Glasnow. It's going to be a fun series. So as we pound on the typical team, the Yankees pound on over and over again, don't let that fool you in the idea that they are playing crisp, clean, well, you know, played baseball. Whether it's defensively, whether it's pitching, whether it's hitting. And I can't wait for this weekend. And then we get to the weekend that is clearly the next 2 days off for the New York Mets as they travel to London to take on Philadelphia. They just swept the lousy Nationals. We'll get to it. And what the difference is for that team. And the message being sent by the organization that, for me, is the most important thing that came out of the weekend. Because, yeah, they desperately needed some wins, the New York Mets, no doubt. But ultimately, it's going to take more. It's nice to see Lindor hit. It's nice to see Alonso play well, especially defensively. It's nice to see Severino pitch into the eighth inning, especially the way the bullpen's been. It's nice to see the offense awake. It's nice to see, you know, someone they trade with the Yankees and Torrens come up and hit a couple home runs. It's nice to see all of those things. But for me, there has been a clear message from the organization from the really jump of the season and has really been pronounced over the last three games with one particular player and a message being sent. And everything else, and whether they're going to trade people away or whatever they thought of this season, they've made it very clear. You don't produce. You don't play. And I think that's, despite the winning of the games and despite the sweeping of the series, the idea that that message is as loud as ever is important for this Met team, who might be trading everybody away, who they might want to do that, who might need that. But ultimately, there has been a tone set with this new manager and this new GM. Whatever our expectations are, whatever our current circumstances are, we expect you to produce. And if you don't, you don't play. So sweeping the Nationals is nice. Setting a culture with this new organization, with this new owner, relatively speaking, this new GM, this new manager, that's as important as anything. We'll get to that as well. We'll get to my decision or my earlier thoughts about the leadoff hitter, because clearly I can admit when I'm wrong. There's also a conversation around Jason Dominguez. A lot of baseball as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Your call's next. McMonagle with you until 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
In the morning on this Thursday morning. Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum. How's everybody doing? I'll be with you tomorrow, right? Yeah, it would be tomorrow. Tomorrow in the midday. So I won't be back in the overnight. Me and Keith will be filling in Friday for Sal and BT. Looking forward to it. Have to move some things around, you know. You know. You're welcome. A busy man, a lot going on. I got a new, backyard table being delivered. Got a lot going on, but sure, no. I'll drop everything and change my life around. No, please put me in midday. I don't want to do it. No, I'm just kidding. But the Yankees are, baseball is now, at least for the time being, is just full front. And you know, it was, the garden party was great. We had so much fun. I hate to see it go, especially the way the Rangers went out. But it's felt like, you know, this Yankee team has kind of gone under the radar, believe it or not. Yeah, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. As they were quietly going about their business and Judge was becoming the best player yet again and overcoming a miserable April. And again, five RBIs in this game. I mean, he's unstoppable. He comes up with bases loaded, nobody out. You know he's doing damage. Like, you just know it. You know it. And you know this team is going to make the plays. You know this team is going to beat the Minnesota Twins. And this series is going to be fun against the Dodgers coming up. And yes, as Rami tried to, you know, in my ear, you know, put cold water on the situation. Yes, with the new baseball schedule, it will happen every other year. The Dodgers will come to town every other year. So maybe after this, it won't be so special. But it's still going to be special this weekend. And we're going to have two special. And I'm a fan of teams. You know, I like, there's been a lot of flack and a lot of, anger, I guess, is for lack of a better term, disagreement, frustration, anger, with all these games that are played outside the country, especially the NFL, right, as they're going to Germany now, and, you know, baseball's going to be played in London, it's been played in Mexico City, it's been, you know, but specifically in football, because you're taking home games away from a fan base that only has so many over the course of the year. I think I think the games are interesting. I think they're fun. I have no problem with it, especially what these games are going to start early, right? It's like 10 a.m. No, in London, I thought these games are going to start
maybe noon. Let me check on that.
Yeah, let me check the schedule for these games. But I love the early morning start.
Oh, you are right. 10 a.m.
See, tell me, I don't know.
One of them is 1 p.m. The other one's 10 a.m.
Okay. So Saturday will be 1 p.m., and I guess so then Sunday will be 10 a.m. Sunday, 10 a.m.? Little early morning baseball across the pond.
Makes me excited for football.
Yeah, I know, right? 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Yankees continue to roll. Mets get the sweep and set a tone. And whatever you want to say about this manager and the GM and the way they constructed the team and the way they've gone about business so far, it's a disappointing season. It's been some ugly baseball. And I don't know if I want to call it a turnaround, although they've won five of their last seven and three in a row. And the offense has awoken, and certainly Lindor has begun to swing a much hotter bat. It's the tone that was set. And I love it. And we'll get to that in a bit. Let's get to Brian East Rutherford. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you? What's going on in East Rutherford? You guys are in the middle of some sort of tornado or something? Or?
Yeah.
Everything all right?
Right now.
Are you driving, yeah, what are you, no, driving in a convertible at 2:30 in the morning? It's been raining. What's going on?
Yeah, no. Just driving, but... I mean, I've been it before.
You probably don't know. There's just a lot of like wind sound on your line right now. That's why.
That's
the rain coming down. Yeah, I got caught in. Now be careful, okay? Because let's get through your call so we can send you on your way. Because I want you to be safe. But go ahead, Brian. What do you want to talk about?
No, I appreciate it. I just want to just kind of get back off the Yankees. Like, oh, big Yankee fan and. I kind of want to give credit to like the batting coach. I know he's new. He just got on the crew and
yeah.
I feel like there's just like a big difference in the way every Yankee is approaching this plate. Like it's a walk or it's a hit. Like I don't know. Like
I don't know either, Brian. Listen, go be safe. I'm sorry. I can't even hear you over the rain. I got caught in it too. It was all of a sudden, it just started coming down. I was most of my ride in, there's no rain whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, I get by MetLife Stadium, and all of a sudden, it just starts teeming rain. And then it slowed down for a little bit. And then right before I got to the tunnel, it came like crazy. But unfortunately, it makes for a tough phone call. Couldn't hear you. It sounded like somebody kept hitting like a tin roof or something. Somebody was, playing the washboard. Like, but yes, James Roesen has done a nice job. He's been very good. Last year, the hitting coach was an issue. And I typically don't really, and it's funny to me because Yankee fans will quickly, give credit to the hitting coach. Right? Because he's changed everything. But when the team plays, you won't give any credit to Aaron Boone. They win, you go, oh, yeah, sure, he's winning with Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge is on fire, and yeah, great, okay, now, wow, what a great job. But then the hitting coach, I mean, you think he's helping Juan Soto? You think he's turned Judge into this?
Well, they fired the hitting coach last year when they weren't doing well.
Well, so. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying it's funny, but I do agree that there's been a fundamental change. I still think, and we have to see, okay, and I don't want to, this is deep into the woods of Yankee stuff, but Lawson, who was fired as the, for some reason his first name is evading me at the moment, but Lawson, who was the hitting coach to start the year last year, he was also the hitting coordinator for the entire organization. Dylan Lawson. Thank you. He was also the hitting coordinator for the entire minor leagues. And despite one former disgruntled minor leaguer coming out complaining about how they do business down there, at a minor league level, what Dylan Lawson was doing and implementing has helped. When he took over in 2019, this Yankee organization offensively has gotten much better. They've won more games down there. They've produced more hitters. Now, we haven't really seen it yet. Volpe is the first one of this new era to come up here and be part of it. But we've seen Volpe come up. We've seen Dominguez come up. And certainly everybody's clamoring for Dominguez, and that's another conversation we'll get into. But Spencer Jones is going to be someone who we see. They just moved up Ben Rice, and I've brought him up a lot talking about next year's first base situation. He's a catcher, first baseman, DH. You know, we'll see how good he is at first base. But he's hit everywhere along the way to the point, and he caught Gerrit Cole's start in Trenton. Actually, Trenton. That's the former. I'm sorry. Somerset Patriots. He caught that start and then immediately got moved up. And people were clamoring for him to be brought up to AAA and that he's done enough in AA. And they were hesitant to do so. But he's a name. Like, there's a bunch of... They've done a really good job getting hitters to grow as hitters throughout the organization. And not to get too into the weeds, but the thought process of how they go about business. And it's not just launch angle. But it's about hitting the ball hard. I mean, like, I know that seems obvious, but you guys, and at the major league level, when you're trying to win and score runs, sometimes, as you see, you don't need to hit the ball hard. Hit the ball the other way, a sacrifice fly. But those things are taken less important at the lower levels because you're trying to develop hitters who just hit. And then on some level, eventually there has to be a transition into being more productive outs and stuff and less strikeouts. And although they've had less strikeouts since 2019, almost every stat has gotten better inside the organization since 2019. But at the major league level, when you need to score runs and manufacture runs, right? It's different than when you're developing a hitter and you're grading at bats. A jammed bloop single over the first baseman's head from a right-handed hitter, you know, getting jammed and blooping one over the first baseman's head is a great at-bat at the major league level with a runner on third or on second. At the minor league level, that's still not what you're looking for because you're looking to barrel up baseballs and get good swings, and that's not necessarily graded as a good swing. And those are the kind of things that there's been a kind of miscommunication inside the organization and with the fan base. And ultimately, yeah, you know, put the ball in play, anything can happen. And at some level, that's all true. But when you're developing hitters, you're trying to hit the barrel and get them to hit the ball hard. And so a hitter might be hitting 310, but ultimately they don't view him as a 310 hitter because some of the hits are deemed lucky. And I don't want to get into all this, but the hitting philosophy has changed at the major league level. I'm not sure how much it's changed at the minor league level or how much it needs to because they've done a really nice job. But there's no doubt Volpe has completely changed. Now, I don't know. They're saying this was the hitter that was at the minor league level. So I don't know what happened last year, if it was just paralysis by analysis and there was too much of this analytical type thing. I know you guys love the analytic word. But if there was too much launch angle or too much other things in his head being put there by Dylan Lawson or whomever, and it took a year to get back to being himself, or just, you know, it's one of those things where every time you get to another level, it takes some time. Judge was notorious for that. He would get to double A and struggle, and then the next year, kill it. Get to triple A and struggle, and the next year, kill it. And he came up in 2016 to major league level and struck out every other at bat. And then we all know what happened in 17 and the rest of his career. And I hope Volpe can become that player. And right now, I mean, he is just slashing the ball the other way. I mean, that's... He can drive it a little bit, and he can pull it if it's inside. But, I mean, he is just serving the ball with authority out to right field. And it's led to all these extra base hits and a 31 straight on base streak. 31 straight games getting on base. Him and Judge are tied at 31 for the longest in Major League Baseball right now. I mean, he's just doing everything. So I might as well just get to it because I've been on record over the last, you know, few weeks talking about possibly moving him off the leadoff spot and putting DJ there. Now, I just want to clear up a couple of my points on this. One, I never suggested hitting Volpe ninth. I want to hit Volpe seventh or sixth because I want to utilize his base stealing, which I feel is lost at the leadoff spot. You're not going to steal bases in front of Soto and Judge. You're just not going to. And I want to be able to manufacture runs at the bottom of the lineup and give the 8 and 9 hitter an opportunity to, you know, Volpe gets on, steals second base. Now all I need is maybe a bunt or hit the ball the other way. And now you've got a runner at third. And now you've manufactured a run at the bottom of the order instead of needing to come up with home runs or base hits or extra base hits. Like, that's what I was looking to do to balance out the lineup. But that's only if DJ LeMahieu can prove that he's a 380 on base guy, which he's been at a lot of parts of his career. So I knew it was going to take some time anyway, but I'm not stupid. If Volpe is going to continue to be this monster at the top of the order, he's not going anywhere, nor should he. And I don't care about stolen bases. If he's going to get on, I mean, it's about on base percentage. He's been on base 31 straight games. So, Volpe is changing this lineup and the way he's gone about it. And in the first inning, they lead Major League Baseball in runs scored in the first inning. With him getting on base and Soto and Judge doing what they're doing, I mean, it's a devastating top-to-bottom lineup right now. And there are even some holes, and it's still this kind of devastating lineup. Rizzo's not doing much. The catching position was hot for a while. Wells is really not done anything. Trevino was hot for a bit. But, I mean, right now they are doing everything you could ask them. And you watched this game last night, other than Santana and the bullpen giving up some runs late. That last night, in front of a packed house, and I mean, that's the other thing. The fan base is just, how could you not be in love with this team? But I was seeing, not just from Keith, but from other people on social media, the lines trying to get this Soto jersey. It's almost as if, like, you know, we're worried we're never going to get another opportunity to get Soto stuff. It's like, who knows? He might leave. I better get my Soto jersey now. But let me ask you a question. If he leaves, do you want the Soto jersey? It's almost like a catch-22. You better get it now. But if he's not here next year, when are you going to wear it? Who knows? Who'll be number? They'll probably give that number away right away. And then you got a basketball, you know, Ben Rice jersey. But I mean, the crowd, the passion, you can feel it, you can hear it. And this team is going to, I mean, it's going to capture the city, because I don't see, unlike in 22, where they had this same record that they had at the start of the year last year, I don't see this team fading, barring, you know, major injury here. I don't see this team fading. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to surpass the 98 Yankees or win 110 games or anything like that. I don't know, but I don't think they're going to be as bad down the stretch as that team was. I just don't see it. They're too good. They're too good top to bottom. They are going to be a force all year. And it's fun to watch right now. And it's fun to be a part of, and everybody wants to be a part of it. And the crowd going nuts trying to get these jerseys, the first 18,000 people. That's just to annoy Evan if he's listening. I doubt he is at 246. But the first 18,000 people get this jersey. I mean, and the lines, it was crazy. And now they got this series. We are going to be amped up for this Dodger series. I'll tell you right now, the crowd is going to be intense. I can't wait for Sunday. Cannot wait till I get there. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. There's also obviously a Jason Dominguez conversation to be had, as he's doing very well in his rehab assignment that is going to come to an end soon. And then, of course, the Mets. And not only winning, but enforcing and implementing a new culture and a new attitude that I think is going to serve them well, whether they win or lose, moving forward. 888-808-1019. McMonagle with you on The Fan. Come back with your phone calls next.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 251, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019, that's the new number. I feel like I've got it down now a little bit. I feel like I'm finally getting it down. 888-808-1019. No more 877. Messed that up. I was just looking at all the different baseball scores. The White Sox have now lost 13 consecutive games. They were walked off by the great Mike Tauchman, if you can remember that name, back really the 2019 Yankees. And his role with that team was enormous. One of the great, names we'll forget that have come and gone. But he's playing for the Cubs still. He was traded for Wandy. They traded, again, next time you want to knock Cashman, just remember a couple of ones, a little one. Mike Tauchman for Wandy Peralta is a good one. But 13 straight. And they are now, I lost their record for a second. They are 15-47. 15-47. By far the worst team in baseball. And it's scary on some level because they were about as young and talented and on top of that division for a couple of years where, I mean, it's scary that it's imploded for them so fast. I mean, they had big-time young prospects who smacked the hell out of the ball. They had the MVP in Abreu. They had Dylan Cease as their Cy Young. Like, they had a lot of young talent. I thought they were going to be good for a while, and they have completely fallen off. And that's what's scary about these young players. As, let's be honest, the Yankees are about to head into a time period after this season, if they are going to sign Juan Soto, where they are going to have to rely on their youth, on their farm system. They're going to just have to. I've mentioned Ben Rice a couple times. You are going to see him. You are going to see these guys. There's no doubt. Dominguez is going to have to play and be a major part of this team. Volpe's going to have to continue this play. Peraza probably, unless he's traded, is going to have to be part of what this is. You know, they're going to have to figure out a way. Wells is going to have to be better than a 190 hitter. And we saw it with the Baby Bombers, and we're seeing it in Chicago. Obviously, the Yankees never bottomed out to 15-47 or whatever it is. But when you rely on young prospects to come up, it's not easy. So just remember that, because we know whether or not the Yankees should, shouldn't, can, can't, whatever you think. If you want him, if you want the Yankees to retain Juan Soto, which we all do, and if you want him to sign whatever contract it's going to take, because you know Steve Cohen's going to throw money at him, someone else will pop up, there'll be another team. The Giants are probably always looking for stars with a little bit of money. You know, you have no idea who will, you know, the Padres always do crazy things. I wouldn't even put it past the Padres to try and sign him back. I mean, I have no idea what the Padres do all kinds of crazy things. But if you want to sign Juan Soto, prepare to have to trust this Yankee organization. I'm prepared. But that's what it's gonna take. To go along with the stars, which are now obviously Soto, Judge, Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, and some of the other big contracts. Stanton's gonna still be on the books for a while, who, by the way, another two singles. I know he got thrown out running the bases last night. Can we stop caring? Like, honestly, stop caring. It doesn't matter. You know he's not going to run the bases. And the last thing I wanted, I actually got scared last night watching the game. I actually got scared that he was going to get hurt doing what he did the last time he got hurt last year, which was he thought he hit the ball into the gap and had an easy double. And then halfway through, he realized, oh, Buxton got to that ball quick. The ball's coming in. Let me try and take it up a notch to make sure I get safe, to make sure I can get in there. And all of a sudden, turn a jog into a sprint on a step. And that's how he tore his hamstring. But he ain't messing around. You see him? He don't care. He continued to run at that ridiculously slow pace and then just get tagged out. He realized halfway to second, hey, I made a mistake here. I'm going to get thrown out. But what he's not going to do is suddenly try and turn on the Jets that he hasn't tried to turn on in a year and a half, because they need him in that lineup. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Dunn?
What's up, buddy? How we doing?
I'm all right. I got a couple of things for you, but you know what? You just said something, and real quick.
Yeah.
I'm just impressed that he's getting ribbies, and it doesn't always have to go over the wall. So, you know, even if they throw him out a second, I could care less, bro. It's all good. And you know what? Respect to Shackle and to Dr. E-Man, but I think Brother Ricky is like, he's... I don't know if you heard them on the radio, but the last couple of broadcasts, the chemistry between him and Susan Waldman, he's taking that job and like just putting his hands all over it.
I think I think Ricky does a great job. I agree with you. I think Ricky's really good.
The last couple of nights have been like phenomenal. And that's no disrespect to Shaq or to Dr. Eman.
Absolutely.
But to get to why I called though, two things really quickly, all right? The second one is gonna take a little time, so I'm gonna get into the first one real quick.
I would expect nothing less from you, Val. You think I take your call and expect it to go quickly? I'm well aware it's gonna take some time, Val. So please go ahead.
I got you.
We have to be done by 5 o'clock though. Can we manage?
I got you. I'm gonna do my best.
All right.
The compliment between Soto and Judge, man. I mean, the fact that, because you know, even Waldman again, and I always reference her whenever she makes something that just triggers something in my mind as I'm listening to the broadcast. But you know, she mentioned something, and it's interesting how, like, for the first time in a long time, Judge actually has. I think that's what they envisioned Stanton to be when they traded for him,
of course,
in 18. But like, Judge actually has somebody that's at what looks like to be at his same level, who he can actually talk the game with, like on the same level. And you are like, I mean, she even mentioned it. You see it when they both come out from, you know, especially when they come back after they've scored and they come home and you see them sitting in the dugout right there. They're both like talking to each other in a way that he talks to nobody else. And as much as Rizzo is his bestie, that relationship is really deep. And to my last couple of points, just to get in real quick, people are, and I don't mean to disappoint anybody, but people have been saying, you know, you hear the stuff with the hot stove stuff as far as the trades and everything. And we always look at what people perceive to be the weakest parts of the team. You know, you hear people talking about Rizzo. You hear people talking about Torres.
Right.
I think, like, unless Torres is somebody that they're actually going to guarantee themselves to get an arm, I think both him and Rizzo are people that are, like, the Yankees view Torres differently to how we as fans view him. And, you know, especially because if you're getting somebody else that puts money on the payroll, Torres is actually working it out right now. I know Cashman is sitting out making notes. And when negotiations come around, this is going to be the way that Cashman is going to believe that he can actually get Torres and keep him at a price that might actually be comfortable and more favorable for everything that we intend to do in the future as far as trying to sign Soto. And as far as Rizzo is concerned, he is so much more, as far as the intangibles, he's almost like a second captain on that team.
Yeah.
When things go crazy with the pitching, it's Rizzo that goes to the mound to talk to somebody. You know,
I don't think I touched the button. I don't know what happened there. But I was definitely hovering, so maybe I got you, Val. I apologize. No, I understand that. And Rizzo is absolutely a leader on this team. There's no doubt. There is no doubt. I'm torn on Gleyber Torres, though. I got to be honest. I'm torn on Gleyber Torres because part of me, I disagree with you completely on your point about finding a price point for him moving forward with the New York Yankees. I do not think Gleyber Torres will be here. I don't think there is a price point. I don't view him as a player anywhere near what they had hopes for. I don't view him really as a winning player necessarily. He's not going to be here. And when you look at this offense, the offense is so talented that it's easy to just say, well, if you can get anything for him, you know, you got Peraza in the minors, we know he's really great defensively. Even if you give up a little bit offensively, hey, you want to make sure you're solid defensively. In the playoffs, one of these mental gaffes that he makes kills you in the playoffs, and you can't afford it. And with this lineup, I don't care. Let's just make sure you're sound defensively. And while I think, like, as the words right there coming out of my mouth, I think it makes sense. But ultimately, I've been burned too many times by lineups I thought were pretty damn good do nothing in the playoffs. And while Gleyber certainly isn't tearing the cover off the ball just yet, I do believe him to be a decent offensive player overall. And I do deem him to be one of the better hitting second basemen in Major League Baseball. I think he's clearly in the top six or seven offensive players at the position. And I'm sorry. Last night you saw him make a play going over the middle of the ball that bounced funny off the mound, still made a great scoop. He's got arm. He can play the position. There are definitely mind-numbing mistakes that happen for him and gaffes that hurt them, no doubt. But until I see a Yankee team go into a playoff series and score enough runs, I am very hesitant to give up any position of strength at offense in place of defense. So while you can say, well, this team's different, and Soto and Judge and Verdugo and up and down the lineup, and Stanton's healthy and playing well, you know, as you just said, Val, it seems like he's hitting the ball well enough where it's not just the home runs. He hit a couple balls in the gap in this game, and he's been better, and there's so much offense that, hey, in the positions that have historically been defensive positions, you can get away with it when Volpe is your shortstop and your center fielder's Aaron Judge. And like, you can get away with a light hitting to bad hitting, good defensive second baseman. And that makes sense to me. But year after year after year, it's the offense. Year after year after year, they don't hit. So for me, until proven otherwise, I want to head into a postseason with as much offense as I can possibly have. And I don't think it's crazy that at any moment, and hopefully down the stretch of the season into the playoffs, you might have a hot Gleyber, because Gleyber was the best offensive player they had last year. Certainly, I mean, when Judge wasn't there, clearly. I mean, he was the most consistent guy all year. He had a great year last year. He struggled to start this year. I think he can get better. And for me, I am not ready, and I don't know what you would get for him. To me, Gleyber is the second baseman this year. I want him to get hot. I want him to be the offensive player he was last year. Let's see if we get that for the postseason. And then next year, bye. Give him the qualifying offer. I doubt he takes it. I might even be concerned giving him the qualifying offer. But I'm done with Gleyber Torres after this year. I have a hard time thinking it's worth getting rid of him now. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. A little after 3, here's Marco.